96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The Associated Press is reporting tonight that one of the shooters responsible for the deadly San Bernardino attack in Southern California used social media to contact extremists under FBI scrutiny. And CNN is reporting tonight that Syed Farouk may have been radicalized. What does that mean? How does it happen? What would drive someone to commit mass murder? My guests are going to help us with these questions and much more tonight. Dr. Terry Marie Adams is a criminal psychologist, sociologist, I should say, and associate dean of Howard University's College of Arts and Science. And Dr. Marcus Hummings is a clinical psychologist and mental illness expert. Lines are open if you have questions or comments about this. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. 10. Dr. Adams, Dr. Hummings, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let me go straight to the first question, Dr. Adams. What does being radicalized mean?
Being radicalized essentially means that you have been made to think anti-American or anti-government thoughts. You've been basically have accepted a doctrine or a set of principles by an organization that has a mission that is more than likely against various forms of government.
Mm-hmm. How does something like that happen? Does someone have to be susceptible to these suggestions, like brainwashing, hypnosis in some way, shape, or form? Do they have to be open to the suggestions by those who would attempt to radicalize them or to influence them? Dr. Adams? Yes, please. Yes.
Yes. It can be all of the above. So, you know, there are people that are, there's some that are more susceptible than others, mm-hmm. Maybe because they are unhappy with life, maybe because they feel like they've been dealt a bad hand and they're looking for something to blame for their situation. And then there are people who are just followers, mm-hmm. Who are, again, similar to the other group I just described, who are looking to attach themselves to something greater than themselves.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hummings, talk to me about the mindset, because Dr. Adams just made an interesting point. Some people just may be followers. Obviously, we have leaders, we have followers. What is the mindset of a follower who could be perhaps pushed to the edge or influenced enough to commit a mass murder, whether it is a sudden decision or something that, as appears to be the case in the San Bernardino massacre, something that had been elaborately planned?
Mm-hmm. Well, individuals who may fit into the category of a follower may be susceptible because of some type of vulnerability that starts very early on, or there's some type of significant event that creates some type of vulnerability to needing the guidance or leadership of someone else. And so they just kind of turn themselves into an instrument of whatever leader's belief system or kind of actions or ideology commands of them. And so you'll see some of these people either are followers, some of these people actually live out their own kind of brooding resentment. Or they're looking for some type of purpose that has been that is either missing or never actually kind of developed over their lifetime.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the San Bernardino shooting yesterday, a follow-up to yesterday's horrific incident in Southern California. We're trying to figure out what would drive someone to commit mass murder. Let me go to the phone lines. Reggie, calling from Richmond. Hey, Reggie, haven't spoken to you in a while. How are you?
All right. Happy holidays to you and to your illustrious panel.
Thank you so much.
In all honesty, just look at the cameraman in Roanoke, Virginia, that gunned down two individuals live on TV. Just look at Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma bombing. Just not forget the Nine Angels in South Carolina. So when I hear about radicalized, then I can come back with those little angels at the elementary school. So I just think somebody just have a demonic mind. They want to make a statement. Just your thoughts on that. Take my call.
Sure thing. Dr. Hummings, you first, and then Dr. Adams. Your thoughts about what Reggie was sharing with us.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you commonly see with this type of event that happens is it's kind of done on a stage, and it's done for the publicity and to push a message on a very large scale. And so it's on camera. It's during the middle of the day. It's to a population that is defenseless and tragic in a way, so that it gets a lot of attention and people pay attention to what the offenders are saying, what their manifestos preach.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a larger scale.
Dr. Adams, your thoughts about what Reggie was sharing with us also?
I agree with him. The last comment that was made, that I think people look for opportunities to make a big statement and to get the attention, public's attention. I think the desire is to make people to kind of strike back at those that they think are causing the problems. And it's a way of kind of showing those entities, if you will, that while they might have power to cause what they think are injustices, that the perpetrators feel that they are somehow gaining more or exerting their power over those entities that they think have oppressed them. And so one might say, well, how can they think that when they're not striking at the powers that be? They're targeting innocent people, but they're creating fear. And for some reason, that fear that they engender, they feel feeds their mission.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tammy, calling from Oxon Hill. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Tammy? Tammy, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
First, I have a question.
Sure.
I was watching MSNBC, and when they were reporting about these shootings in California, they basically referred to the suspects as actors. And they said it twice. Like, I thought I was hearing things, but then the guy said it again. So I was just wondering what you guys' input are about that. Like, why would the reporter call the situation the suspect thing actors?
You mean actors as in A-C-T-O-R-S?
Yes, he said it twice.
Yeah, but yeah, bad actors, certainly from a journalistic point of view, just a descriptive way that sometimes journalists use to talk about perpetrators of a crime. But that's only from a journalistic point of view. Dr. Adams, do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
I think in the heat of, describing a situation, people use the verbiage that comes immediate to mind. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree as well.
Yeah, I mean, for example, we may talk about bank robbers, Tammy. We may not just always call them bank robbers. We may call them bandits. We may call them renegades. Just another word, just another descriptive term. But you also had another comment. Go ahead and share that with us if you want to.
Okay, well, the term, before I have the other comment, the term actors implies to me that they were either paid to do this or someone paid them to do this.
No.
So that's what it made me think about.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Can I also say this? At that time, they weren't sure if it was just a mass shooting, if it could have been a terrorist incident. So, you know, it would be difficult to really characterize what was going on at that time.
I agree with that also. Thank you so much for your phone call. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been floating around the issue of terrorism, not only the possibilities of it happening here, but of course what has happened overseas. What is the difference, Dr. Adams, between a lone wolf and a sleeper cell? How do we know if this is indeed a terrorist act that this was not a sleeper cell, and instead just someone who decided, because they were radicalized, that they were going to go at it themselves? Is this a distinction without a difference, or what do you think?
Well, I think the further investigations will draw that out. I do think there is a distinct difference between the two. One, you basically articulated it yourself, is an actor, if you will, acting of their own volition without being attached to a larger group, versus others who were part of a larger group that has a set of goals and objectives and a mission, that are, you know, being carried out in perhaps different stages or in using different methods.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Samuel. Samuel calling from Washington, D.C. Go right ahead. What's on your mind, Samuel?
Yes, I'm calling from right around university campus. But what I was going to share with you, I would like to comment on, is this new term that they're using,
Samuel, you're cutting in and out. Can you call us back? Because you're going in and out. We've got a bad...
You said I'm going in and out?
Yeah.
Does this sound any better?
Yeah, give us a call back, and I promise I will take your call. We probably just have a bad cell if you're on a phone line. I want to also talk about some of these mental health issues. Often, Dr. Hummings, when we talk about mental health in this community, we may see someone, if we are close to them, family members, married to them, close friends, they may have issues that we are missing. They may have issues that we don't want to see. Some have suggested in the case of Syed Farouk, when his family members were talking, they were shocked by all of this. Is it possible that they missed it? Is it possible that they didn't see what was right in front of them?
It could have been both. sometimes you have to know what it is that you're looking for, and sometimes it's difficult for families to identify certain types of issues or mental illness in one of their family members' lives at the time. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge one of our family members having certain difficulties. And so we don't talk about it, we don't acknowledge it, and we keep pushing along like it's not there.
Hold that point. I want you to finish that point, but I have to take a break. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 10. Samuel, if you're out there listening, please call us back. I definitely want to get your question about radicalization. Not afraid to talk about it. Examine that issue also. Dorothy from Northeast, we're going to talk to you. Jermaine from D.C., we're also going to talk to you. Don't hang up. You'll be able to hear the program. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation.